Mark Pilkington, let's bring it up to sort of up to more modern times. As you start getting hooked on this subject and you decide you have to go after Rick Doty, did you figure you would ever be able to sit down and talk to him?
No, never. Absolutely not. In fact, and I don't know if we told Rick this at the time, but we imagined all sorts of schemes that we might force our way to meeting him. Speeding through remote New Mexico and waiting to be pursued by patrol cars and things like this. But we got involved with a guy called Bill Ryan, who now is sort of quite well known in the sort of UFO world as a mouthpiece for all sorts of amazing stories. But back in 2005, he became kind of involved as the sort of front man for a very bizarre tale about an exchange of American Air Force men with extraterrestrial visitors in the mid-1960s, a story that became known as the Serpo affair. We got to know Bill, who lived in England, and he told us he was being invited out to be the guest of honor at the Laughlin UFO conference in Laughlin, Nevada, in March 2006. So we had really no choice but to go out there and follow him out there. And on the off chance, we emailed Rick Doty and said we're going to be out there making a film about Bill Ryan and Serpo, and will any chance you'd be there? And he was indeed, and we ended up spending quite a few days talking to Rick and hearing his stories and about his involvement in the UFO story. And we grew very fond of him, actually, much to some people's surprise. But
I think it's the best part of the book, as you guys are sharing your thoughts back and forth about what the heck is this guy up to? How much of this can we believe? And you're sort of mentally checking everything that he tells you to see if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the big issues for anybody getting sort of deep into the UFO subject, as we did, is that of, how do you separate the good information from the bad information? And that was actually a phrase Rick Doty himself sort of used, and when talking about one of the people he'd been feeding disinformation to, said, well, they had the choice of taking the good information, or they could have taken the bad information, and unfortunately, they took the bad information. And it often happens that the bad information is the more sensational information.
Well, it just so happens that you're pursuing this Serpo story. You're following Bill Ryan over to the States to watch him at this Laughlin UFO conference. Rick Doty is going to be there as well. You spend some time with him. And as you detail in your book, Rick Doty and the Serpo story sort of cross paths at some point. Why don't you bring us up to date on how that worked?
Yeah, that was something of a surprise. I mean, early on, when the Serpo story began to emerge through an internet mailing list, email list, and then later through Bill Ryan's own Serpo.org website, a number of characters have emerged from the digital woodwork and said, well, I can, yes, I can corroborate this information. This is good information. It's stuff that I've heard before. And some of them claim to be DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, employees and insiders. But another one was Rick Doty, and that was really the first time he'd kind of emerged into the sort of public eye for a very long time, although there was his appearance on Coast to Coast, actually, with Craig Bishop for his book Project Beta. So Rick Doty was another person to corroborating the Serpo material, and he ended up writing about it for UFO Magazine and being one of the at the time, what seemed like number of people who said, yes, there's something amazing as this story sounds, there's something to it. And out at Laughlin, Rick and Bill Ryan were kind of clearly, you know, talking together and were sort of, you know, were friendly. And Rick seemed to have a key interest in Bill Ryan's presentation to the group. And one of the real sort of great moments for me was after Bill's presentation was kind of doing an analysis of it with Rick, who thought he did a good job, but had some sort of specific comments to make. And I suddenly at that point thought, well, he's taking a, you know, taking a real keen interest, sort of almost like a forensic interest in the way that Bill is presenting this story. But later on, as it emerged, to sort of cut to the end, as far as we know, the sort of end of the story, a British researcher, Stephen Broadbent, who runs an excellent site called Reality Uncovered, through some, I think, quite lucky kind of digital cloak and dagger work, was able to show that the identities, or the digital identities of the people that have been corroborating the Serpo material, seem to share computers with none other than Rick Doty, and this was something of a shock and a surprise. And I don't think this is so conclusive proof that Rick was behind a lot of the Serpo material, but and it's certainly possible that he was kind of tricked into, you know, to being made to look like he was sending out these corroborative emails from false identities. But unfortunately, it doesn't look good. Good.
Well, just to back up a little bit for those not all that familiar with Serpo, this story comes out of nowhere. Victor Martinez, who's a guy who has this big email list that deals with, that looks into lots of paranormal and UFO topics, in particular UFOs, starts getting it contacted by this anonymous source who offers to give this information. It starts popping up. And I remember when it first happened, I thought, wow, this is a great story, but I'm not buying it. And then a couple of weeks after the, or maybe a couple of months after the initial releases had come out, right in the middle of this thing, somebody puts out a poll and asks, hey, are you buying this? Basically, they ask, all you people who are receiving this, do you believe it? It struck me as pretty obvious that somebody wanted to gauge whether this story was going over or not. And after that, I didn't give it much attention.
Right. And it's funny you should mention this idea of a poll or market research. That reminds me of to way back in 1950, the first emergence of what became known as the Aztec UFO crash story. But when the first sort of lectures were given by an anonymous sort of doctor about this UFO crash, one of the first things that happened afterwards was that the campus of the university where it took place was suddenly flooded with Air Force officials who were conducting a poll on whether or not people who'd seen the lecture found it believable and convincing. So we have a nice historical precedent for this there. But yeah, I mean, what the actual origins and the meaning of the Serpo story is still a mystery as far as I'm concerned. And there have been many suggestions from, you know, that it was all some kind of sort of sociological experiment to see how people respond to, you know, outrageous information, or even a way of sort of tracking certain ideas as they spread around the internet, or just the discovery of disinformation from another era that may have been sort of seeded by either side on during the Cold War. There are many possibilities, but it's a huge amount of data. You know, I certainly don't think one person sat down and wrote, you know, the thousands and thousands of words that that comprise the Serpo material. Maybe it was some kind of experimental, you know, group authorship, literary experiment. I don't know. But
well, that raises other interesting, tantalizing possibilities. That there's a group that's working on it, or an organized group, or it certainly was an ambitious effort. I do remember that getting into this discussions, or at least exchanges, with both Rick Doty and Bob Collins about it, mm-hmm. Because as they were talking about things that happened at the Nevada test site and Area 51, these other unknown people, previously unknown people, came forward to vouch for parts of the Serpo story, parts of other stories that these guys had told about things that had happened in the Nevada desert. And those are the people that you reference in the book, people who no one could prove that they are actual people. And mm-hmm. I guess the Open Minds folks or Reality Uncovered had seemed to indicate that at least two of these people seemed to have been made up, and the possibility was that they were made up by Rick Doty.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was alluding to earlier. Yeah, it looked like certainly they shared IP addresses with Rick Doty, which, and, you know, at the time, I remember, as you say, just sort of most of the names in the UFO kind of field are familiar if you spend enough time there. And up popped, was it Gene Lakes and Paul McGovern, and two people that no one had heard of before, and they're kind of claiming inside knowledge of what on the surface seemed to be this preposterous story.
Well, you spent like a week with Doty. Did you ask him? Did you make up this Serpo?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have something? What did he say?
Well, he just what you would expect. He said it was, you know, the information was there, and as far as he could tell, it was genuine. You know, he was a careful guy. He's not sort of giving anything away. You know, he certainly was. Yeah, he was taking a keen interest in the way that the Serpo material was being kind of presented and spread by people like Victor Martinez and Bill Ryan. And actually, we, as well as meeting Bill, we did go and interview and spend time with an afternoon with Victor Martinez. And one of the things that really amazed me, which is just sort of coincidental, but I was surprised by, was that Bill had been involved in the sort of UFO scene in LA since the mid 1980s, at least, and actually knew Bill Moore from that period. So there was a sort of another connection between Rick and the Serpo material, even if a kind of a distant one. But
well, you also looked at other parts of Bill Ryan's background, and it seems like everybody's got some sort of a intelligence or government connection somewhere back along the line. And I seem to recall that at that Laughlin conference, there was some sort of a staged, orchestrated event where Bill Ryan was handed some secret packet of information. Do you know about that?
Yeah, we were actually there at the unveiling. I think I helped open the envelope. Yeah, that was a strange scene where I think we were. John Lundberg and I were with Rick Doty, and Bill Ryan emerged with a manila envelope with green name sort of addressed to him on the front. And we opened it up, and it was filled with the kind of strange symbols that looked to me a little like maybe Korean or something. But they were sort of obviously intended to present some kind of strange alien alphabet. And also sort of some new extracts from the sort of leader of the Serpo Expedition's journal. And these appeared, I think, the day before Bill's presentation to Serpo, and there was a whole kind of strange sort of complication where he'd been given these documents but then was told, and I don't know exactly who told him this, that he couldn't present them to the conference and had to sit on them. And one of the things that was, you know, no fun for us was to see that Bill Ryan became, you know, quite distressed and quite stressed out as the time of his presentation sort of loomed. And I don't think that was just sort of normal nerves of pre-speech nerves. I think he was being kind of buffeted around by different forces within, you know, within the UFO community present at the conference, and seemed to get quite confused and concerned about what was going on.
One of the things that jumped out in your discussion of Serpo in the book, what jumped out to me anyway, was the discussion about how the emergence of Serpo coincided with the explosive growth of two major paranormal conspiracy sites online, Open Minds and then Above Top Secret. And I thought it's almost sounded like you're implying that maybe they had something to do with it, that they were created to be vehicles for spreading this story.
I wouldn't sort of say that. Certainly wouldn't say that explicitly. I mean, I think, you know, the way culture works, things, it's always about call and response, and, you know, information feedback loops, and the SERPO story certainly led to a huge surge of interest in what until that time, so 2005, had been a largely sort of dead subject. I think there were actually newspaper reports about the death of ufology. I actually chaired a sort of panel discussion at the Fortean Times convention, I think 2004, called, you know, Is Ufology Dead? And then SERPO came along, and now, you know, what, 5 years later, the subject is once again sort of, you know, it's hugely popular. There's a new surge of films and TV series kind of being prepared. So I think, you know, SERPO hit a nerve and really sparked something off. But one of the things I do refer to, and sort of certainly with a sort of, you know, question mark alongside it, is the idea that these forums like Open Minds and Above Top Secret certainly prove kind of useful kind of nodal points for drawing people interested in UFO research in. And that's actually one of the recommendations as far back as the Robertson panel report, to kind of, you know, focus people's interest in areas, you know, physical meetings and groups and conferences that make monitoring them much more straightforward. So certainly, while I couldn't say whether those sites were set up for this purpose, certainly they do serve that purpose. And it's interesting that around the same time, early, at first part of the this decade, a web forum set up to exchange stolen credit card details was actually infiltrated by the FBI and became a kind of, you know, a giant fishing net for them, and resulted in 60 arrests, I think it was.
Oh, I'm sure that all kinds of people troll those sites for information and to sort of monitor to gauge the pulse of the public on these kinds of topics. I just know that ATS, and Mark Allen has been my guest on the program, I know the guy really well, and I know that he created that site as a business enterprise to make millions of dollars if he could, and I think he was probably happy that SERPO came along if it generated that kind of interest. But it's a pretty big site. It's awfully big right now. Here's before we take this break, you know, the book details how Bill Moore was sort of sucked into this thing with Doty. He spied on UFO people in exchange for the promise of information, and Linda Howe, to some extent, was helpful in that. And Doty has weaved these webs over the years. Some may be true, and some may be not true, and he's an interesting character. And here we are. You follow him down this path as well. I think at the end of the book, you mentioned that he had sort of held out the promise of good things to come. It's almost like, you know, you followed the same path that Bill Moore and some others have followed, and I wonder if it's obviously had to occur to you, am I being manipulated as well?
Yeah, and this was exactly, and this was something that we were constantly asking ourselves, you know, and to some extent we sort of deliberately, you know, almost offered ourselves up as bait in the sort of hope that we might get drawn in.
Get recruited?
I don't know about getting recruited, although some people have suggested I work for British intelligence, but I don't think I would meet their stringent acceptance standards. But no, certainly we were aware of this issue, and there was a point actually where, and we have no idea to this day, John and I, whether this was, you know, a game we were being played sort of in another game, but where we were told that, you know, we would, our documentary might be funded by the U.S. government if we, you know, if we presented the right material within it. And, you know, nothing came of this suggestion, although we were so given contacts and names of people who appeared not to exist and when we tried to chase them up. So,
Mark, we need to take another break. I'm sure we can get into that a little more in the last hour that we have, and we'll be opening up the phone lines. People can call in with their questions for Mark Pilkington, author of the fascinating new book called Mirage Men. Stay with us on Coast to Coast AM.